Thanks, you guys. I usually don't get a clap when I come up in front of people. They're like, oh, what's going on here? But I am so excited to be with you guys for my new job. I'm just so excited to be able to be here to share God's word with you and to share some of the things that God has been stirring in my soul for the past while. I've been on a time of rest. I had I finished up my work in Camrose. I was pastoring out there. Took 6 weeks off, a whole 6 weeks. I have some friends in a peer support group. They said, Dave's on a nap for 6 weeks. I had a few naps, I'll admit, but it was hard to wait for this moment. It was hard to wait for this week to come up because when it was announced that I was accepted to be your new pastor and called to be your new pastor, I have all these ideas, all these visions, all these dreams for how we're going to move forward as a church. And it was hard to just kind of put those aside for a little bit and say, no, wait, rest, rest, rest. And so it almost took discipline to be able to rest for me because I'm so excited. Now I'm here and started on Monday and had to hit the ground running would be the best way to describe it, because there's a lot of things happening, a lot of decisions need to be made, a lot of things need to be prepared for the launch of our ministry programming for the coming year. And so it's been a running start, and also it's been a lot of learning. It's like drinking from a fire hose to be able to learn all of the things and moving parts of what makes Grace Point, Grace Point. And so I'm just looking forward to the time ahead. Now, here's what I'm seeing, is that you have an absolutely incredible staff that work in this church. An incredible staff. Yeah, let's clap for them. Like, they really deserve that clap. We have a Pastor Egbert, who had that very short introduction of me, which was fun. And he has led this church through a very difficult and significant transition. And he has done so much hard work and done such a great job to be able to bring us up to this point, and has brought this church through a point of change and challenge. And he's just been fantastic to be able to bring us this far. And he's continuing on with us. And he's going to help me learn how to do this job and give me all kinds of information and help me along with this. And so thank you, Egbert, for all the things that you've done. There is Pastor Luann, who is continually wrapping her heart around making sure people's needs and challenges are addressed and cared for. And Pastor Sid, who is leading our next generation ministries. We have Pastor Sarah, the most reverend Pastor Sarah, by the way. She was ordained last week. And so we have Sarah, who's leading our children's ministry. We have Teresa, who's keeping us all organized as our office administrator. We also have Larry. Larry, where are you? He's here somewhere. He might be fixing something. I don't know. Larry is part-time. He's our facilities manager, and so he keeps kind of our building running and functioning. Last night, he had to come here at 4 a.m. because the power went out and the alarm company called him, and so that's why we're having glitches, by the way, and why we didn't have any sort of PowerPoint in the beginning. I think our computer crashed a couple times. And so that's why. And so thanks, you guys. Let's take a deep breath for them because it's been a stressful morning. Yeah, now we're relaxed. All right. We just roll with it, because if we don't have PowerPoint, that's okay, or whatever they call it, presentation, that's okay. We can sing and we can realize how much we don't remember the words to the songs. But they're so meaningful when they're sung to us if we don't remember them. And so there's a way that we need to do that. And then most recently, we said goodbye to some of our staff who are still with us, worshiping with us. But there was Lucy, who worked tirelessly in many areas. Gaylene, who led our worship ministry and administration. And then Angie, who worked in our admin, and all people who are absolutely incredible. And I'm learning a lot of the things that they have done before they left, which is pretty amazing. And then we also have our summer staff, like Krill and Matt and Josh, who are helping with our kids and our tech ministry. And just incredible people that I'm privilege to be able to work with. And I know that I've missed some of them because they're either away or I haven't met them yet. And so we also have a tremendous amount of volunteers that I'm learning. I went into Planning Center online and saw all these names of volunteers that were listed on the this is sticky. Why is this sticky? Sorry. There we go. I'll get rid of that. I don't have a mark of where I'm supposed to stand now, but that's okay. It was just sticking to my foot. I don't know what that was. We have some great volunteers that are running the show and behind the scenes and front and all those things, like these, all these amazing people who are running our tech right now. Are we online? Like, is that glitch? Yeah, we're online. That's awesome. And so there's a lot that it takes of volunteer work of staff to be able to make things happen on Sunday morning as well as throughout the week. It's incredible to see all the ministries that are happening in this church. And so, yeah, I'm going to say, I've said enough about that, but I think that you're going to hear more about it because I think it's important to champion and to celebrate the volunteers and the staff that we have within our church, carrying the ministry and helping us to be able to understand and to be able to learn about God and to worship together and to be in the different groups and programming and all those things that we are invested in as Grace Point Church. So, now I want to talk just a brief moment about last week, because it might have been a little bit confusing for you. I don't know if you've ever seen an ordination service before, but we had Pastor John Campbell come, and he spoke on calling, and Sarah did some vows, and we're like, wow, those are pretty strong vows that she had to take part in. The vows of ordination, and after much preparation, she had gone through a lot of preparation, coaching, mentoring, as well as she had to go in front of a panel of credential people, like you think credential people, and be able to be interviewed, and she was approved for ordination, that the calling of God is on her life, and that she's a pastor. And you might have been from a different tradition, and you might have been come from a tradition where your denomination or group or tribe did not ordain people, and or they may not have ordained women preachers and pastors. And here's the thing, the Church of God in Western Canada, the Church of God, Anderson, Indiana, the Church of God movement that we are a part of, ordains women pastors. And during our prayer of blessing, there was, I don't know if you noticed, but there was pretty much an equal amount of male pastors as female pastors on the stage. I don't know if you noticed that. And that's because that's a part of our theological value that we have. Not because we're cool, not because we're like liberals, but because we are a Wesleyan holiness movement. And so that we believe that when we look at the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit descended of holy tongues of fire, right? You remember the story, you remember the passage. Holy tongues of fire rested on each of them, male and female, were in the room. And so because of the power and the descending of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we believe that because of that power of the Holy Spirit, there is an equal opportunity and an equal leadership ability and an equal leadership influence of male and females when it comes to ordination, when it comes to ministry. And so, understand the Church of God has always had women leaders, women pastors, and women church planters. A lot of our churches throughout North America and throughout the world have been planted by women pastors. And so that's something that we value, that's something that is a part of our tradition, and something that is a part of our understanding of Acts 2 and Scripture and theme we see throughout Scripture. So that is an important thing for you to understand. And if you want to have a discussion about that, if you have more questions about that, I am so open to questions. And I love really good questions. I love really good discussions. And so I am so open to that. And I'd love to be able to have that conversation with you if you have more questions or even disagreements. That's awesome too. So now we're talking about who we are. Now that's a part of who we are as the Church of God movement. But I want to talk about, and this is the title of the sermon today, is who are we? Who are we as Grace Point Church? And I think it's important for us to understand who are we as individuals, who are we as Christ followers, and who are we as the church? And so as we enter into this new phase of Grace Point Church,
we need to know who we are, or rather even whose we are. And it's so important for us to understand that as we move forward, as we make some of the changes, as we make some of the transitions into this new paradigm of leadership, this new paradigm of our society and how our church fits within society, it's important for us to understand who we are and whose we are. So we're going to look at the prophet of Isaiah, because there's just this beautiful passage that that was written to the nation of Israel in a time of really difficult transition that they were going through. And Isaiah was a prophet. Now, Isaiah, the name Isaiah is a Hebrew word, and I'm going to mispronounce it, so don't judge me for this, but Yeshua Yahu, meaning God saves. Isn't that a cool meaning for a name? Wouldn't you really like to have that kind of name, that God saves? That's the meaning of my name, Isaiah. Now, it was written in a time of uncertainty for the nation of Israel. So if you look at the book of Isaiah, the first 39 chapters of Isaiah were written in the 8th century B.C., so in the 700s. And they were facing an Assyrian threat. And it was basically God's rebellious people craving worldly security. And they were facing this threat. And so they just wanted to be secure. They just wanted to make sure that they were okay. And then we look at chapters 40 to 45, and there were prophecies for the 6th century B.C., so it's another 100 years. And the Babylonian exile is happening, and God's people are defeated people under world domination, right? So they're going through a really hard time. And then Isaiah 56 to 66 are basically prophecies about all times and occasions until the end. And so it's basically a prophecy of hope of what is to come and all who hold fast to God's covenant. So that's an overview of Isaiah. Let's close in prayer and we're good. No, I'm just kidding. I gotta stop doing that. I'm tricking you guys. So we're gonna look at Isaiah chapter 43. And we're going to go through that chapter for the next 3 weeks. So I'm not going to put the whole chapter on you, but we're just going to take it a few verses at a time. Well, 13 today. So Isaiah 43, which is basically Israel's only Savior, is the title of this chapter. So let's look at it. So verse 43, beginning of verse 1. But now, this is what the Lord says, who created you, Jacob, who formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you think of these words, what do they mean to you? That God knows you, he knows your name, and you are his. He says, you are mine. So this is the basis of our identity, especially if we're a Christ follower, that we were created by God. That we were formed by God, uniquely formed, not just created, but uniquely formed by God. That we have the fingerprint of God on us. That we are made, each of us made, in the image of God, in the likeness of God. And that when God created us, do you remember what he said when he created us? He said, it is very good. It is good. I like it. I like you. And that's the basis of our identity. We need to understand that and to have that as a part of remind us of that very fact that God created us. He knows us. He loves us. And then he calls your name. He calls you by name. Now, here's something that I wish I was better at, but I'm not. And I'm going to confess something to you, that I'm horrible at names. I hear you say your name when I first meet you, and sometimes it sticks. Sometimes it's like, whoop, whew, gone, immediately. And I'm just really bad at names. I try so hard. And sometimes I even, like, study lists of names and try to picture people and do things. Excuse me. And try to do things to remember names, but sometimes I'm just terrible. So if you approach me, like in the community or something like that, and you say, hey, Dave, or Pastor Dave, and I give you this blank stare, just share your name, because it just makes it less awkward for you and for me, but I'll try. But I even get, I have 2 kids, sometimes I get their names wrong. And I think I was the one who chose their names. That's really sad, isn't it? But it just happens, right? Like my mind sometimes is somewhere else, and it's somewhere important. But if you're in front of me, you're more important than where my mind is, just so you know. So, and it's not something that I don't care about you. I probably remember every detail of the last conversation we had, if we've met. But I might not remember your name. And I'm not, sometimes I will confidently call you the wrong name. Just go with it. No, I'm just kidding. No, you can correct me. Absolutely. I'm good with that. But just so you know, I am not really good at names. So now that's something that I have confessed. And now you know. And here's the other thing, too, is that, one of the conversations we had as staff is, Dave, what do you want us to call you? Like publicly or whatever. And I'm really comfortable with Dave. Like, that's my name. And you don't, if it's part of your tradition, it means something to you to call me pastor, that's okay. But I just need, like, Dave. Or you could say, hey, you, if you really want to. If you forget my name, that's okay. But you don't need to call me Pastor Dave. I just want to make that clear. Like, if it's important for you to call me Pastor Dave, that's fine. But I don't really feel like I need that. And I'm mostly comfortable, like even your kids can just call me Dave. That's okay. I'm good with that. I'm pretty casual that way, pretty relational that way, and so just wanted to let you know. Anyway, our names give us a sense of identity, don't they? Our names give us a sense of identity. Now, I go by Dave, but my name is David. My mom calls me David. My siblings call me David in front of my mom, to respect my mom. But I go by Dave. But I have this connection with King David because we share a name, right? That's part of my identity. And David means beloved, right? And sometimes people like me, sometimes they don't. So, that's something. But our names give us a sense of identity. And so, what do others call you? What is your name? What is your namey? Do you know the meaning of your name? Do you know who shares your name? Whose name do you carry? My middle name is Anthony. That is after my paca, which would be my grandpa, my mom's dad. Classy guy. He was a tailor, a Dutch tailor. No, he would say, no, I'm a Fries tailor. That's Northern Holland. They distinct themselves. But I carry that name of my grandpa, Anthony. He wore a fedora. He was kind of cool. I can't pull that off. He could. Whose name do you carry? How does it form your identity? And the other thing is, how does Grace Point Church form our identity? What does our name carry collectively as a church, as a faith community? Grace Point Church. What does it mean? What does it say? What responsibilities does the word, because it's the most important word in there is grace, right? Grace Point Church. What does that carry for our church? Grace is by definition an unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration and sanctification. So grace is something that we can't even impart, but we can represent. So how do we represent grace to our community? Grace to the world, grace to each other, if grace is the point of this church, right? So how are we a vehicle of God's grace as a faith community? Because, as a church moves into a time of transition, of an exit of leadership, a transition of leadership, and then an entrance of leadership, there is a point where we need to ask ourselves, who are we really? What is our identity as a faith community? Who are we? Who are we as a faith community? Well, these verses give us the answer. Do not be afraid. You are mine. That's what God says to us. You are mine. Now, this is not that we are a passive possession of God, but it is a position, a placement, and a proclamation of who and whose we are. It is the position that we have as children of God. Children, adopted by God into his family, into his kingdom, as part of him. It is a placement into his family. And it is a proclamation that without question, this is who you are. You are mine. Doesn't exactly leave a lot of ambiguous thought, does it? It just says, you are mine. We belong to God. We belong to God. Now, I wish that in our hearts and our minds that it is as simple as it sounds. But we love to complicate things, don't we? And we're like, nah, but can God really be trusted in this? In this time of our lives? See, in those times of our lives that we've been going through, that you've been going through as individuals, through all of this whole pandemic and all the cultural changes and everything that's been happening around us, it just feels like nothing has a footing or a foundation to stand on anymore. And it's just really hard to navigate through life right now, isn't it? And we're like, what's next? What is next? And in these times, we go through an assessment, a recalibration of who we are, and often it often comes out of these struggle times, these times of struggle. So let's look at some of the other verses that there are in Isaiah 43. It says this, when you pass through the waters, in Isaiah 43, it says this, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Wow. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made, lead out those who have eyes but are not blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gathered together in the people's assembly, which of their gods foretold and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove they were right, so that others may hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, from the ancient of days I am he. No one can deliver you out of my hand. When I react, who can reverse it? God's mercy and Israel's unfaithfulness comes out. All of us will face and have difficult times. All of us have faced and gone through difficult times. But you got to understand, God knows what hard times look like. I mean, go through the Bible, right? Where God created us, we rejected him. And the rest of the Bible is him trying to reconcile and bring us back and put grace into our lives that only he can bring. And then he sends his son down to die for us, and we kill him, and he raises up. So he knows what hard times look like. And as individuals and as a church, we have faced a very difficult time, especially in the last 2+ years. There's been a transition of pastors. And now we're facing, okay, what's this new guy going to do? Pandemic, restrictions, shutdown of programs, loss of relationships, sickness, death, loss, Political unrest, cultural change, racial tensions, polarization of ideas and ideologies, radicalization of groups, loss of what we thought was close to normal, continually shifting trends within our society, a deconstruction of church, faith, Bible, structure, traditions. We have suddenly realized that as a church, we have been really busy sometimes, and this is for all churches, really busy sometimes trying to build the system of the church when we should have been focusing on disciples, and how we realize that throughout this time of pandemic and isolation that we haven't been as effective as we thought we were at developing resilient disciples. But in all of this, God says, do not be afraid. Do not fear, because you are mine. We are his. We are his. And in these challenges, there is a strengthening of character. There is an opportunity and a way to change our lives that we haven't had in previous times. You see, in each situation that we go through, we need to understand that our value as a person, our value as a church is not found in all the people. It's not found in all of the accolades or the recognition that we get, but our worth is found. Our value is found in God. And that's it. That's it. And God's value of you as an individual, God's value of you as a church has not changed. You are still his. And you're thinking, well, Dave, but we've struggled so much. I've struggled so much. How could it possibly be? But it is. Because he is the one who has not changed. His view of you, his view of us has not changed. And he's saying to us that he has a plan for you. He has a plan for us as a church. Because we are his. So much like the time of the nation of Israel in the book of Isaiah, the words of God still ring true. First of all, that he created us. He knows us by name. He says, you are mine. In our trials, he is with us. He has a plan for us. He has not left us. He will show us a way in our lives and in our church. We are in a process of celebrating who we are and what we have as a church, and as well as rebuilding our ministries and our identity as a church, and finding a way forward in what it means to make more and better resilient disciples in today's world. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you so much for these words of comfort, that through all of this, that we are yours. Through all of this, that you are with us. And through all of this, you are doing a great work among us. And God, as we continue to work through Isaiah 43 in the coming couple weeks, Lord, help us to be listening to your word for us as Grace Point. Listen to your word for us as individuals. And Lord, that as we form or reform or reacquaint ourselves with our identity, God, help all of that to come from you and through you. Lord, help us to not be anxious or afraid of what lies ahead for us as individuals or as a church. But Lord, that we would lean on you, and that we would look to you for next steps. Amen.